I want to go to the Word of the Lord very quickly. So if you'd like to stand, let's go to Job 22 and verse 28. Welcome to Adult Sunday School. It has fallen my lot to be the teacher this morning, so you have two choices. You can like it or you can like it because we're stuck together. So here we go. Job 22 and 28. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Then I want to go to Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In the power of the tongue. Death and life. Stick your tongue out this morning. Come on. The doctor asked you to do it. You would do it. That death and life is in the power of the tongue. Lord Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts to understanding. Give us a desire to live for you above all else. Touch this Sunday school class this morning, each and every person that is here. I give you praise and glory in advance. Everyone said, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As you're seated, tell somebody beside you, you have power in your tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So many times words of death are spoken into our lives, over our lives, and about our lives, without any realization of the power and the consequences that those words are having on us, or maybe the words you have spoken, maybe you don't realize the power that they have had over or affecting someone else that you're speaking to or about. We are and have been conditioned to believe the old saying that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Who was ever taught that? Were you taught that? Who's ever heard that? Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. I'm here to testify today it's a lie. It is a masterly crafted deception breathed from the pits of hell itself, because words hurt. Words affect. Death and life is in the power of the... Stick your tongue out. You got to make the sound. Come on, you can do it. I believe in you. This is Sunday school. This is class. Back in front. It's in the power of the tongue. That tongue can get you in trouble just like that, or it can deliver you. Oh, yeah. Yes, it can. Many people don't realize that saying and the words that they are speaking, that the devil will use that as a trick, because it seems as... Growing up as kids, it's easy to teach our kids something to make them feel and accept it when other people say hurtful words. Well, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt you. And it'll be okay, little Johnny. And we teach them to brush it off and say things like, you know, don't pay attention to that. It'll be all right. You don't have to worry about that, because words can't hurt you. They're just jealous of you. They just don't accept you. But the truth is, words do hurt and affect and mold us, because we have developed the mentality that words don't have any power over us. But words do have power. The things you say, it matters. It matters what you say. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. The words that came out of my mouth or someone else's mouth this last week possesses the ability to either kill or to produce life. And when we push it off as nothing, when we minimize it as a cute little saying like sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. We minimalize what we're dealing with. And what we do is condition ourselves. And we set ourselves and our children up to become victims of death, spoken by negative words. Amen. Words have power. They have power. Words are the most powerful things we can use. Death and life, the scripture said, are in the power of the tongue. Death and life is not in the power of the devil. So many times we say things that the devil is trying to destroy me. And true, that's his job. But sometimes it's not the devil. It's the words that we speak into our own lives, into the lives of our brothers and our sisters that are affecting us. Death and life is not in the power of your bank account. It's not in the power of your circumstances or your situations. It's not in the power of your position or the people that you may know. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. Words. Things that we decree, things that we say, the words you allow into your heart, not the physical heart that's pumping in your chest right now. Feel your heart. Is it pumping? I hope so. If not, call 911. Not the physical heart that's pumping, not that organ that pumps blood through you, but that soulish part of you, that part of you that houses your desires, that part of you that houses your ambitions and your will and your intellect and your emotion, that part of you that the Bible says out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and it is going to speak either life or it's going to speak death, not only for you, but for the people you are talking to. Anything negative is death, but the word of God is life. The word of God is life. There's something about when you begin to speak the word of God into a situation, when you begin to speak the word of God into that storm that you are going through, greater is he that's in me. Oh, you might not feel great at that moment, but when you just say that, greater is he, you're reminding yourself, he is great and greatly to be praised. I can make it through this. I can figure this out. I'm not all by myself or alone anymore. God himself is with me. And you begin to speak those words of life into yourself. And sometimes you have to just encourage yourself. I look in the mirror quite often, not because I'm pretty and the mirror's probably going to break, but I look in the mirror just to talk to myself sometimes. Hey, bud, you got it together. You're going to be a soul winner today. You're going to have a good day. I might be crazy, but I do. You're going to be friendly to some. You're going to make somebody smile today. It's my goal every day to make somebody just know I'm a happy person. Things might not all be okay, but you don't have to know that. But you do need to know that he's inside of me and it's going to be okay. We're going to make it through this. We can figure this out. We can make it. So sometimes you have to speak words and decree things in your own life, in your own situation, in your own home. I remember as a boy, my dad going through a house that we had sold. We were moving across the street and we had loaded everything up. Everything had been moved. We had cleaned the carpets. We had got the house ready to sell. It was a great day. And dad said, son, we forgot something. Let's go back. We all got in the car. We went back. Dad went in the house and he opened the door and he began to walk through the house. And he said, God, you've been with us in this home. You've blessed us in this home. We've accomplished, and he began to name things in this home. Now, God, we've moved everything out of here, but we want you to know that we want you to go with us. It was symbolic. I know, but as a kid, it impressed me because my dad was it was so important to him that God knew and that we knew, hey, we're not just moving to a nicer home. We're not just upgrade, but we want the presence of God to bless us like he did here. Over there, and he spoke those words out. I never forgot it. It spoke words of life into me that I'll never forget. And when I go into a situation or a place, I say, God, I want you to go with me through this. God, I want you to help me make the right decision in this issue. I want you to help me and direct me with my thoughts and my words, that what I'm speaking, what I'm saying will affect somebody around me in the positive and speak life into their life. The Word of God is life. The Word of God counteracts all the words of death that are spoken in, toward, over, at, and through you. That's why David said in Psalms 119 and 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." David realized that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It doesn't take very long to realize how someone is and who someone is. Just listen to them. Just be quiet and listen to them speak. You can find out what motivates them. You can find out what's important and who's important to them. Just by their words. The power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. Hallelujah. So if I fill my heart with God's word, which is life, when I speak, I'll speak life, and I will enjoy the fruit thereof. Little example, I've tried this before with our kids upstairs. It doesn't take much, you know. It really doesn't with the power of words. You can, in a very short time, affect somebody with the power of your words. It's really very simple. You do something like this. "How you doing, buddy? Good to see you today. Hey, come with me. How are you? I know you love it. Yeah. You tense. Calm down. It's okay. No, good, good, good. You sure you're okay? Man, you don't look so good. Oh, you have a fever? Oh, you're hot. You look bad, don't you? Are you feeling bad? Oh, my goodness. Are you sure? Let me help you sit down. Be careful." And then someone else says, "You don't look so good. You're not feeling..." And then your wife, your honey, your sweetheart, she leans over and says, "Babe, are you okay?" Yeah. You do that from 3 or 4 people, and they do that. And all of a sudden, you're like, "Ooh, I'm not feeling so good. I might need to go home, get my collar open." Just by the power of a spoken word. You let 4 or 5 people come up and say, "You look like you're having a bad day. It's been a rough week, hasn't it?" "Well, yeah, to be honest, it has been. I ain't feeling so good. Do you have some medicine?" It affects you. The power of the tongue, the power of your words, the power of things that are spoken into your life. Those words affect you. Because we have developed in our minds, and we have intellect, and we have education, that does not mean that the power of the most simplest word cannot affect us. Are you feeling okay today? Are you sure? We need you on the drums, because I'm not playing backup. They got me singing. Hallelujah. Job 22 and 28. "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways." A decree. A decree. I'm just teaching this morning. I know I'm not Brother Baggett, but you've got me. We established that. A decree is an order. It's a law. It's a command that is set forth by authority that must be followed by those under the decree. Once a decree was made, it cannot be changed until after the one that has made it has either died, you need to remember this, has either died or has reversed the decree. Only the king that had made it. When a king made a decree, it was final. His word was law. It could not be changed. It had to be obeyed, or punishment was done for disobeying the decree. That is why Daniel was cast into the lion's den. That's why the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fiery furnace, because they disobeyed the king's decree. So if a king's decree carried that much power, just think about what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when he makes a decree, how it should affect us. Just begin to think about the authority that is in his decree. Oh, what's his decree? You've got one in your hand probably, or near you, or at home somewhere. Maybe it's got dust on it. Maybe it's worn, but there's some decrees in there. There's some things that we've got to live by and we've got to do, because it is what has been decreed. Let me explain it in another way. In Matthew 6 and Luke 11, we have what is known as the Lord's Prayer. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. A very good question. How do we pray? We work with Gravity every Tuesday night, and we get them in a circle, and we'll take requests all the way around the room. And then we'll stop, and we'll have them all bow their head, and I'll lead out in prayer, and I make them pray out loud. And then we'll stop again, and we will start a popcorn prayer. And what that is, I call on somebody, and they lead us in prayer. And then I call on the next child, and from the youngest to the oldest. They didn't all start out wanting to pray, but now they'll pray. And I'm trying to teach them how to speak out loud words that are powerful, needs and situations. And now you forgot about me. What about me? I want to pray. Because they've got to learn how to approach God, how to pray, how to make their request. Words are powerful. They're powerful. So in Matthew 6 and 11, they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. In other words, teach us how to pray so things will happen. Now, who likes to pray and have nothing happen? Anybody? Nobody likes that. You want to pray and know that your prayers are being heard and that something's going to happen. Not praying in vain repetition, but praying and seeing results happen. Hallelujah. Has anybody ever seen some results happen from a prayer you've prayed? Let me see your hands. Oh yeah, those are answered prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said pray, and pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So that tells me we must invoke the name of Jesus. We've got to speak the name. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's his name? Jesus. Jesus. So pray in the name of Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You've got to understand this first. Man was created so that God's kingdom, which is spiritual in heaven, right, would be established on earth, which is in the physical realm, right, through mankind, that his will would be done in earth, which is the physical realm, as it is in heaven, which is the spiritual realm, right? Are you with me? Okay. So what's being done in heaven? Look at Revelation 4. It talks about how the beast and the elders and the heavenly hosts worship God that sits on the throne. What's going on in heaven? Worship. What do we assemble and come together to do? Worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship. God wants that to be done in earth, in the physical realm, as it's being done in heaven. Watch this. When we read Genesis 1, we are given the pattern for how we are supposed to operate in this physical realm, as it is being done in the spiritual realm of heaven. In verse 25 of Genesis 1, we find that God created by simply speaking the word. He spoke the word. God said or decreed, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke it, and it was. God spoke it, and it happened. And he saw the results, and he saw the results of what he said, and he was pleased with it. He liked it, the evening and the morning. He enjoyed it. It was good. And when we get to the 26th verse, God makes man in his image and likeness and gives him man, talking about man, dominion or authority over the fishes of the sea. He gives them dominion over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and everything that creepeth upon the earth. He gave his creation, man, authority, the same authority he had, the authority over the physical realm. This is important because everything in the physical realm came from the spiritual realm, because God spoke it into existence, and it was. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 3 says it like this: through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You've got to get this morning. Since the physical realm is a product of the spiritual realm, if you want to affect the physical realm, you've got to get into the spiritual realm. Did you get that? Because the physical realm, since it's a physical realm that you and I live in, and it's a product of the spiritual realm, in order to affect the physical realm, you've got to get in the spirit. That's why you've got to lay down the spirit of heaviness, pick up the garments of praise, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. That's why you've got to come in and begin to worship the King of Kings and get into the spiritual. You've got to get out of the flesh and get in the spiritual. And when you begin to do that, it affects the physical realm. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. It's different for me too. I like to preach. This is more teaching, but we're getting there. You're stuck with me. Sorry. So God created man in his own image and likeness, and he gave him man dominion or authority over everything. Then you go to Genesis 2 and verse 19, and the Bible says, and out of the ground, that's physical, right? The ground, it's a physical realm. The Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam. He brought them to Adam to name them. He wanted to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them or said of them or decreed over them, that is, every living creature was named what Adam called them. He had authority. Adam said it, and it was established. The power and authority was in his words, his spoken words. That's going to be a cow. That's a horse. That's a dog. That's a pig. That's a really big elephant. He spoke them. He named them. But when mankind sinned, we lost our power and authority because the relationship with God was severed. But you got to remember, a king's decree stayed in effect as long as he was alive. Words are powerful. We're talking about words this morning. Words are powerful. The devil wants you to believe that words will never, ever hurt you. But the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. If that scripture is true, words have the ability to either make a situation good or make a situation evil. Matthew 12 and 37 says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. There's power in the words you speak. There's power in the words, and there's meaning in the words that you use. The devil understands the power of the words that are spoken. When he entered the serpent and he tempted Eve and he challenged the word, Genesis 3 and 1, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Verse 2 and 3, the woman said, and she spoke words back. She spoke words. The spoken word matters. She spoke, and she said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Those aren't the words that God had spoken. That's not what God had said. That's what Eve said. She spoke words. And when you speak contrary to what God has said, that's death. That is spoken into your life. Eve spoke death into her life before she even took of the fruit. She had already spoken the words that weren't true before she ever touched the fruit, because she was speaking something that God did not say. And when they, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God, immediately they fell out of the spiritual existence and were now totally part of this physical realm. But the King of Kings decree was still in effect. Whatsoever they spoke, it shall be. So now they are influenced by sin and a negative spirit and a carnal nature. A carnal nature is enmity towards God, so that all things could be could imagine to speak was evil and totally against the will of God. Carnal people, you know carnal people. They are influenced by things that they see and feel. They get depressed and discouraged, and they are hopeless a lot of times and gloomy, and their words are usually death and dismal and confusion. You go to the sixth chapter of Genesis, God sends a flood, and after the flood, the King of Kings decree is still in effect. All throughout the Bible, all throughout every story, you watch the spoken word. You watch the words affect everything, everything, everything. Because as long as the king is alive, his decree or his word is alive. Then we come to the 11th chapter of Genesis. The Bible says the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. You remember the story, the Tower of Babel. Verse 3, they said one to another, let us make brick, stone, slime, and mortar, and build a city and a tower, and make us a name, lest we be scattered upon the earth. And the Lord said, they are one language, and they will accomplish what they set out to do. Why? Because the power of their tongue. They were all speaking the same language. They were all getting together. So he confounded their tongue, the Bible says. He confuses their ability to decree things. He confused their ability to be able to communicate. An old Johnny would ask for a brick and you'd hand him a hammer. Johnny didn't like that. I need a wheelbarrow and you bring up an axe. They couldn't talk to each other. They couldn't communicate. They fell out of sync. You watch every relationship. You watch every person in your life, be it social, secular, in the workplace, or in the church place. If you fall out of communication and right relationship with somebody, the relationship begins to crumble. But when you have spoken words and you're on the same page and you get in step, in unity. We used to have Tennessee walkers, and we'd call get them in step, and they'd get in this stride. They'd begin to prance. When you could get them in step, your head would just go even like that. You wouldn't bounce. It wouldn't be rough. It was smooth. It's the same way when you have spoken words of relationship. I can offer you a hand of friendship, or I can ball up my fist unless we're going to fight. Just by the spoken words. The spoken words. So he confounded their tongue. Because God's desire for man is to be in relationship with him and his kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven. Then you fast forward to the New Testament. God, which is spirit, takes his word, which is a decree. His word is a decree. He wraps it in flesh, John 1 and 14. He places it in the womb of a virgin named Mary. The angel Gabriel, he tells Mary that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. That was God's decreed word wrapped and manifested in flesh. That was God wrapping himself in flesh. He is going to save men from their sins. But he's also going to be an example that man is to follow in this physical realm. Because we are in the physical realm. In order to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. So watch this. That's why he told the disciples, when you pray, you say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, physical realm, as it is in heaven, spiritual realm. The spiritual needs to be manifest here in the physical. Jesus gave us a multitude of examples of how we are to operate in this physical realm. He spoke to the wind and the sea and it obeyed. He spoke to the dead and life was restored. He spoke to the blind and they received their sight. He spoke to the lame and they began to walk. He spoke to the sick and they were healed. He spoke to the water and it turned into wine. He spoke to the demons and they had to obey him. He spoke to to death and grave and said, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? He gave us example after example and decree after decree in the Word of God. Established His Word unto us. Hallelujah. You've got to get this. You've got to get this this morning. In Mark 4, 36 and 41, we find the story of Jesus and His disciples when they are about to, in the boat of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is in the back of the boat asleep, and a storm rises, and the disciples begin to panic and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus gets up, and he spoke to the wind and the waves, and He said, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then in the 40th verse, Jesus said to the disciples, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Why are you afraid? He rebuked the disciples because they had the power to do the same thing. But they didn't put their power into action. So many times in this life, we are beaten and battered in the storms of life. And like the disciples, we ask the questions. Jesus, don't you even care what I'm going through? Jesus, don't you care that I might die and not live? We cry in desperation, Lord, help me. Jesus, are you asleep today? He says, I've given you the power and authority. Where's your faith? You've got to decree some things in your life. You've got to speak some words into your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus was letting us know the power is in your tongue. If you decree a thing and believe God in your heart and not doubt, it has to come to pass. You've got the power to decree a thing and it be established unto you. All you have to do is talk about it. You watch successful people. You listen to people who accomplish things in life. You listen to their conversation. I'm going to build this building and it's going to bring in revenue and it's going to be a blessing for my family. You know what? They build the building and it brings in revenue for their family. Why? Because they've got a made up mind. They've spoken it into existence. They're going to make it happen no matter what happens. If they get the wind knocked out of them, they're going to get up and brush themselves off. They're going to look at it again and say, you know what? You knocked me down, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this again. They speak it back into their life. They speak positive. They speak hope. They speak life. They speak faith into their life. You've got the power to decree things and establish things in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you dealing with? What are you going through? What are you facing? Listen to your conversation. Well, I don't know. I've just been so sick lately. I feel like I'm going to die. Well, guess what? You probably are going to die. But it don't have to be today. You know, it's been a rough week, but I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. It's going to be a good day. We're going to have good church. We're going to have good singing. We're going to have good fellowship. We're going to have revival. We're going to have a good year. I decree a couple of things up in here. You've got to begin to decree. Hallelujah. I decree this morning, jobs are going to be given to the jobless. Lives are going to be healed to the people that are sick. People are going to be filled full of the presence and the power of God in their life, and God's going to begin to work in them and through them. Why? I'm decreeing. I'm telling you this morning, we're going to have an overflow. We're going to have joy unspeakable. You're going to feel happy today. You're going to have a good day. You're going to get what you need from God today. You're going to receive the blessings and the glory of God in your life, in your family. Those prayers you've been praying. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Why? Because I'm going to decree it today. I am going to make it. And so are you. So are you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet this morning. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. We worship you. Lord, we want to walk in spirit and truth. Lord, we want to speak words of hope and life and encouragement into our brothers and our sisters. Walk with us. Guide us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The things you say matter. The words you use matter. Speak words of life. Speak words of encouragement. Speak words of hope. Speak words of love and compassion. Be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. Hallelujah. Greet one another in the fear of the Lord. Fellowship, we'll come back in about 10 minutes and have worship service. God bless you.